No matter what anybody tells you, words and ideas can change the world.
Okay, terrific.
Language and writing were made available.
He'll teach you everything.
I'm writing this down. This is good stuff.
Hey, I'm John. This is John Helps You Write Better. And today, we're going to talk rejection. Now, rejection comes in many forms. The most common, or at least the most talked about, is rejection from getting an agent, not being able to find representation, getting rejections on your query letters. But there's also rejection of other different types. There's rejections by, you know, you can't afford or you can't hire the cover designer you want, or you get rejected by the audience. You get no sales or very poor reviews or no reviews. There's rejection of your premise, this idea of, you know, I've put a book out that talks about this and it just doesn't go anywhere. There's all different kinds of rejection. We assign certain kinds and certain amounts of feeling to each kind of rejection because we worry that that rejection says something significant. Oh, I've been rejected by an agent. My book therefore must not be good enough. But there's rejection all the time. You know, you go to the grocery store and the line you want to get into suddenly closes because, you know, reasons. You try to, you know, get your car in for an oil change and the place is just packed and you get turned away and told to come back later. You want a particular sandwich to order, but you're told, oh, we're out of that today. Those are all rejections. Why do they not affect you, knock you for a loop, cause you to scurry off to social media in a panic and frustration? It's just tomatoes they didn't have, or come back in 2 hours, or the line at the grocery store says move to aisle 7. Those are rejections. Why does rejection with your art hurt, but rejection at the grocery store is a nuisance? And I think the answer comes down to what you care about. You don't really care if you got to move lines. It's a pain in the ass. But at the end of the day, you're still getting your groceries bagged and out the door. But your book is something you deeply toiled over. You were thoughtful and considerate and you planned and you dreamed and you hoped, but you don't plan, dream, and hope about like, oh, I got to remember to get Cocoa Krispies out of the cereal aisle. You don't put the same kind of weight behind it so it doesn't matter as much, so it doesn't feel like something as substantial. I get it. That makes sense. But you're wrong. You're just wrong. I'm sorry. Because rejection is rejection is rejection. The investment you make in responding to it, that's on you. You can treat your rejection from a query letter with the same level of, oh, okay, as you do when, you know, you can't get an oil change because every bay is full. Or when they're out of the tuna fish, so you get the ham. Okay, rejection can be whatever it is you make it. And let's just go one step further since I have you here. That idea that you should quit is foolish. We talked about a little that yesterday, but I'd like to follow up. It's foolish because in no way, shape, or form does having somebody tell you no mean that you have to absolutely drop everything and give up. It just doesn't work that way. This isn't that kind of rejection. This isn't like being shunned from the village, voted off the island, or anything like that. This isn't some kind of profound harm you're causing that's causing someone in response to say, no, I wish to cease this activity. You're just being told that no for your thing. But people interpret it as, oh my God, my book. It's the problem with my book. I'll never get it. My book isn't good enough. No, it's how you framed it. It's the query letter. It's, you know, can I have a cookie versus may I please have a cookie? You didn't say the thing the one particular way the person wanted you to say it. You didn't frame the query the way somebody expected it or wanted it or needs it to be so that you put forth your request, your interrogatory in its best form. It's not your book. They didn't read your book. If your query letter sucks, they don't read the first 10 pages of the manuscript. Maybe they do, hoping that, you know, a good manuscript can make up for a bad, poorly functional query letter. But chances are, if the query letter really whiffs, like if you just suck at it, yeah, they're not reading the manuscript. That's not your fault. You didn't know. They're not going to tell you. That's not their job. But your response to this rejection is something under your control. And it can feel frustrating. It can feel difficult. You can definitely, absolutely, and should seek support. Hey, I had this really bad thing happen to me. Somebody tell me it's going to be okay because at the present moment, I feel like I can't get there myself. That's a completely reasonable experience to have. That's a completely wonderful, valid feeling and therefore deserving of support and care by the people in your network and the people in your community, the people around you who care about you and your happiness. But the depth and the level and the intensity and the pervasity of your response, that's on you. You get to decide how long you want to give up. You get to decide how long you want to mope. You get to decide how long you want to be angry. You get to decide whether or not you're going to tear your query letter apart and start over. You get to decide whether you're going to shred your book's first 60 pages and try to find the magic thing that's wrong with it. You get to choose whether or not you're going to hire someone to help you with your query letter or just come and ask questions at a free Q&A or something. You get to choose how you handle this stuff. Because rejection can be as meaningful and as potent as you choose it to be. That power is yours always, no matter who's doing the rejecting, whether it's an agent, an industry, a whole capitalist building, some pigs, some swine, whatever you want to call them. No matter who it is, you get to determine how you feel because you're the one having the feelings. Rejection hurts. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt. I'm saying the amount of hurt, that's on you. And rejection in creative efforts is not a reflection of poor skill. It's a reflection in poor framing. You didn't ask right. Your query letter's got a problem. It's not clear enough. It's not sharp enough. It could be. You've asked the wrong person. Maybe both. Maybe all of the above. But that's not your fault. You didn't ruin everything. You don't have to quit. You don't have to give up. You don't have to look at it and go, oh, well, if I suck at this, I must not be good enough to be a writer. No, not at all. And here's the last point I'll make, and then we'll get out of here for the day. So many writers get rejected and then they just feel like, oh, I should quit, completely disregarding, completely overlooking that there's a whole other branch of publishing that they could undertake. You could self-publish your books. That eliminates a lot of the rejection because you won't need an agent. You won't need a publisher. That'll be on you. Now, I know a lot of writers don't like that idea because it punctures the balloon of their dreams that they thought of when they think about their books on bookshelves in stores. But I will point out to you that there's fewer and fewer bookstores and it's harder to get on them because shelf space is at a premium. And your dream was to have a book people read. Why are we splitting the hairs about how that happens? You've got to be willing to chase your dream and let your dream evolve, right? So why would you disregard this whole legit other branch? There's many ways to your goal. Why are you tying your hands and saying only this way or nothing else? Maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow. But it's worth pointing out that rejection, the thing that caused you to go in this venture, that's on you. You get to decide how you feel about it. You don't have to quit. You don't have to throw your hands up in disgust. But you do get to sit with your feelings and choose how you want to respond to them. You get rejected a lot. Rejection's going to happen in this business. That's just part of it. You should have known that going in. Somebody should have sat you down and said, hey, it's one of the tough parts. And I'm sorry if nobody did because, you got to know what's happening out there. It's going to be hard sometimes, and you're going to have to, hold yourself together when you feel like you can't. It requires courage, requires confidence, and for a lot of writers, confidence is damn near impossible, but it is a thing you can develop. It is a thing you can learn. What you need for that is people supporting you, not just sending you after-the-fact tweets of, gosh, just keep going, because that's nice, but ultimately fruitless, because where you need that support should be before and during the effort. Being told after the fact is polite and good in the sense that it's the right thing to do, but it's not necessarily as encouraging as someone being there at your side, either ahead of what you're doing to tell you like, hey, this is how this could play out, or during it while you're trying to tell you to keep going and remember what you've learned and that you've got a goal in mind, then motivation along the way is almost always going to be a better choice than motivation after the fact, because it could come across as insincere. Ultimately, this is a case for strong support networks, for people who can help you, for knowledge you can gain to help you do whatever it is you want to do. Rejection is what you make of it. Give that some thought. I will talk to you tomorrow.